In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I said yesterday that the whole of the book of the Acts of the Apostles can be summarized in the first chapter in the 8th verse. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. We want to remember that on the day of the resurrection, the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. They were scared they'd be next, the disciples. But you know what? We're reading from chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost, now what's Pentecost? It was the celebration of the law that was given to Moses. When the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were with all together in one accord and in one place. And suddenly, hallelujah, the suddenlies of God, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like that of fire, and it sat upon each of them. I'm telling you that the power of God came with the rushing mighty wind and the cloven tongues of fire. The beautiful. God knows how to do things. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is with you, but he shall be in you. Now he is in them. They shall all be filled. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They start speaking in other tongues. Some people are going to think that it's real. They're going to hear it in their own language. Other people are going to say they're drunk. They hear a babbling sound. Well, the gift of tongues is a very wonderful gift. It helps us to pray. I'll never forget being with Sister Rita Drinkwater, who was a contemplative, and I was driving her home, and she said, "You know, I don't think I want the gift of tongues." I only said one thing, "Do you want to pray better?" She said, "Of course." I said, "Then you want the gift of tongues." And she was on retreat, and she starts speaking in tongues days later. This is real stuff. This is real stuff. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And they're celebrating the giving of the law. That's why they're all there. Now, when this noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, and Rome, and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, and we do hear them speak tongues in our own language, in our own wonderful language, and the wonderful works they were doing of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? Others mocked, said, these men are all drunk with new wine. Oh, yes, they were drunk with the new wine of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, Jesus said, the man who thirsts, let him come to me, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Again, we need to thirst for the Spirit of God. We need to thirst for Jesus. We need to thirst for the Father. Those who thirst get filled. I'm telling you, we're too complacent. We're too complacent. We need to continually thirst for God. But Peter, standing up with the 11, doors aren't locked anymore. Oh, the doors aren't locked anymore. He stands up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem. Be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." Seeing that it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, what's he saying? The bar rooms aren't open. "These men are not drunk as you suppose. The bar rooms are not open. But this is what the prophet Joel spoke. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Have you experienced that great baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced the prophetic gifts that he sometimes gives, or the prophetic dreams? I've received several prophetic dreams. Not every night, but I have had dreams that have changed my life because God showed me something. Last night I dreamt about Mother Teresa. I have no idea what the dream was about, but I remember her being in my dream. She's the last person I was thinking about yesterday, so the Lord has to show me what it's all about. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord." So we see the promise of Pentecost happens, that the Spirit of God comes upon the disciples. There were 120 in that upper room, all receiving the power of God. Today we heard Father Joshi saying that when the Spirit comes, people do what they cannot do. That's real. Peter could not do that and get up and start speaking, "These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." It's what the prophet Joel said. He couldn't do that on his own. He needed the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit of God that did it. You know, when I pray for healing for people, I can't heal people on my own. It's the Spirit of God who does it. The Spirit of God who does it. The Spirit that comes from the Father and the Son. It's not me that does it. If you hear an anointed talk on the radio, it's not only me doing it. I open my mouth and I speak the way I need to speak, but it's what I cannot do. The Spirit does. The Holy Spirit does. He's wonderful. It's wonderful that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, yes, we call upon the holy name of Jesus. We call upon the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, yes, salvation comes through Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven by which men are to be saved but the name of Jesus. Again, I ask you, have you received the great gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Start seeking the Holy Spirit. Start seeking God, that he would pour out his Spirit upon you, that you would begin to do things that you cannot do in your own power. That's the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth was a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." You know, when I hear people say, you know, the school teaches the way Jesus teaches, I'm telling you, if the school teaches the way Jesus teaches, there's going to be signs and wonders and miracles, because Jesus not only taught with his language, but he taught through signs and wonders and miracles. There should be signs and wonders and miracles in every church. But I tell you, we do not expect it. And the scripture, not the scripture, but I've made up my own beatitude. Blessed are those who expect nothing from God. They shall not be disappointed. That's my own beatitude. Blessed are those that expect nothing from God. They shall not be disappointed. And by God, the miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. Him being delivered by the counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands, you crucified him, and he was slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that death should have a hold on him. Hallelujah. Death could not have a hold on Jesus. Why? Because he is the life. He is the author of life. He spoke the world into existence. He spoke the sea into existence. I tell you, death could not hold Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, death has been conquered by the blood of Jesus. Death has been conquered by the resurrection of Jesus. Death has been conquered. Oh yes, we still have death. We still have death, but we know, not think, where we're going if we've given our life to Jesus. Oh, death is still difficult. It's difficult when I lost my mother. It was difficult when I lost my father. It's difficult when I lost my friends and my aunt. It's difficult, very difficult. But I'm telling you, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. He lives, he lives, he lives. The Lord lives. He's the risen Savior. For David spoke concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell, and you will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Oh yes, Jesus' body did not corrupt. He was raised on the third day. I'm telling you this, on the fourth day after someone dies, corruption takes place in Israel. He was raised at the Kairos moment, at exactly the moment that he needed to be raised. And God comes through to us exactly the time that we need him to come to. You might say, Lord, you seem late. No, it's not late. God wants to come to you today and help you with your problem, help you with your problems, help you with your debt, help you with your whatever you're experiencing today. And I'm telling you, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about Mohammed. It's not about the Buddha. It is not about Father Tom. It is not even about the church. It's about Jesus working through the church. It's about Jesus working through this ministry, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. He is the breath of God. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do things that we cannot do. With the Holy Spirit, we can do things that we cannot do. I tell you, God is so important in our lives. The Spirit of God is so important because we are buffeted on every side, and he is the one that causes us to win, this wonderful Holy Spirit. But again, you've got to be thirsty. Let the thirsty man come to me, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty for the Holy Spirit? Are you just complacent? If you're complacent, God can't do very much with you. You know, you're just like a bump on a log. But even if you're a bump on the log and you start getting thirsty for the Spirit, God will choose you, and God will use you, and God will bless you. I'm telling you, God chooses the weak of the world to confound the wise. You might not say, you know, I'm strong. Well, neither am I. God uses the weak of the world to confound the wise. That is his plan. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you. The patriarch David, that is both is both dead and buried, and he was pointed. Peter was pointing to the tomb. It's right outside the cenacle. He is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up, and he was raised up Christ to sit on his throne at the right hand of the Father. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. You see, David said, my servant shall not see corruption. The Messiah shall not see corruption. Some people thought that they were talking about David, but David's tomb and David's sepulcher is right there in Jerusalem, right there. He's buried, and Peter is pointing to his tomb, saying, here's David. He wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about the Messiah, this Jesus God has raised up. Therefore, we are all witnesses. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. I'm telling you, you know where persecution started? In Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Do you know that the witness of Jesus took place because of Caesar? Do you know Caesar made it possible for the apostles and the disciples to preach the word of God throughout the world? You know, you say, how do you know that, Father Tom? I'm going to tell you. Have you ever heard the term, all roads lead to Rome? Well, you know what? He had all roads in the Middle East and other places that would lead to Rome. They're called the Roman roads. They're still there. And you know what? Because of these roads, the apostles and the disciples used them to go and preach and be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Caesar thought he was building the roads for himself, but he was building the roads so that the gospel could be propagated. Isn't that something? God uses everything, even Caesar. Even Caesar, God uses everything. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. What is a witness? First-hand experience of something or someone. A witness, you have to have first-hand experience. Not, well, you know what? Mary told me, I'm in front of the court, that she hit, that somebody hit her car, and he was named John. And the judge will say, did you see it? She said, no, but Mary told me. Judge says, get out of my courtroom, because a witness is first-hand witness. You had to see it with your own eyes. We are all witnesses of this Jesus. Therefore, being at the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. They were seeing the apostles doing things that they could not do. They were speaking in tongues. They were prophesying. Oh, yes, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall have visions. I'm telling you, this is what happened to the disciples. They were imbued with power from on high, but they were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. They were together in one heart and one mind when the Holy Spirit came. They were praying and praising God for 9 days, and when Pentecost had fully come, they were hit by the power of the Spirit. I'll never forget the Spirit of God coming upon my Aunt May, the precious Spirit of God coming upon her. She turned into another person. She was so quiet, but when the Spirit came upon Aunt May, she would say things that she could not say in her own power. This is real. This is real. And she was one of the Anawim, just like myself. You don't know what Anawim means? The poor and needy of God who are desperate for the Father, for his Son Jesus, and for the Holy Spirit. David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your foes, your enemies, your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Oh, yes. Peter is preaching. He never knew how to preach like this. But he's preaching. He's preaching. He's on fire. He's on fire. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked to the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We want this. What shall we do? Something you have to do. Peter said unto them, repent, turn away from your sins, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. We want what you have. I love to make people jealous. Father Tom, I want what you have. You can have more of it. How do you know that? Because I know God, and you can have more of what I have. Because Jesus doesn't give by amounts. Jesus gives totally. How many people said to me, I want what you have. My Aunt Alda would say that. I want what you have. And I told her, you're going to get it tonight. How do you know? Because we're going to pray. And we're going to pray. Joe and I remember Joe coming with my Bible. I had left it someplace and he brought it to Everett where my aunt lived. I said, you're going to get it tonight. How do you know? I said, because I know Jesus. And I tell you, that night she took Jesus as her Savior and Lord. And she starts speaking in tongues at another time. But she starts speaking in tongues, and Peter said, how do you get it? You repent, you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit, listen to this, is for you, the people that are there celebrating the law, to your children, and to all that are far off. That's us. The promise is to the people he was speaking to their children, and to all who are far off, that's us, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, this wicked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day, were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You see what the Holy Spirit can do? The Holy Spirit can give us 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost. We're lucky if we get one or two each Sunday that they give their life to Jesus. 3,000 men were saved that day and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And they gladly received his word and were baptized that same day, and were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, in fellowship with one another, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. Okay, let's look at that now. They continued, the disciples continued with the apostles' teaching. Yeah, that's one. The communal fellowship, that's two. The breaking of the bread, that's the Eucharist. And prayer, the prayers. What prayers did they say? The Our Father and the Psalms. Oh, yes, the Our Father and the Psalms. I'm telling you. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. The apostles taught continually about Jesus. They had been with him for 3 years, and they had a lot to say about Jesus. They would talk about his miracles. They would talk about what he did to calm the sea. They would talk about so many things. They would talk about what we are supposed to be living like. The apostles' teaching, fellowship of believers, breaking of the bread, Eucharist, and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Are wonders and signs being done by you and your church? It's the same God. It's the same Holy Spirit. Are you doing wonders and signs? You say, I cannot do wonders and signs. That's right. The Holy Spirit can do it in you. That's right. Wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. I'm telling you, this is real stuff. This is not stuff I'm making up. This is real stuff. I remember when I was just 21, we were preaching at the Cenacle Retreat House. There were hundreds of people who would come to our prayer meeting, and they would say, we want what you have. And we gave it to them too. We brought them through the Life and the Spirit seminars, and we prayed over them for the baptism of the Spirit, and great things began to happen. I wonder how many of them are listening to me today. How many of them have fallen away? How many of them have become lukewarm? Oh God, Please pour out your Spirit in me that I never become lukewarm. Pour out your Spirit in me that I become more bold, or bolder than I am, but more loving. Not only bold, but loving. I want to love people because I know the question God's going to ask us when we get to heaven. Did you learn to love? Did you learn how to love? Did you learn how you had faith, but did you learn how to love? I'm telling you, I want to be bold, but I want to be bold in the process of loving people. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. My address is very simple. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And if you'd like to give on PayPal, www.inseason.net. www.inseason.net. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. What you see and hear is the gift of the Holy Spirit that was poured upon the early church because they were thirsty. Are you thirsty today? God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.